apparently, he can't saw us last week, but he did WTF.
I know. I saw the news about it.
Which is where he's been so excited about this one.
He told us he was going to watch the entire first season and then figure out which episode he wanted to do.
Just like DC Pearson. Yeah.
I'm really mad at him.
Me too. But we'll
I'm not going to vote for him next year, I think.
You know what? I'm not going to vote for him next year either.
No.
Let's make a pledge right now.
We will not vote for Obama in 2016 because he canceled on us for WTF. Yeah.
La-la-la, episode 415, scenes in a mall.
Just one scene.
George Clooney's wife is also named a mall.
I was going to make that joke later.
I know you were. That's why
scenes
I featured
from George Clooney's wife.
Yeah. You made that joke before.
Yeah, I can't stop. Won't stop, like Bieber. Oh. Welcome to Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're the Gilmore guys.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guys, just to give you a little behind-the-scenes info on what we've done, for the sake of our recording schedule and our live shows, this is the first episode we've recorded in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Literally 14 days.
And the first sit-down in maybe three?
Yeah, almost. Yeah, like 17 or 18 days. So we're a little, we're kind of like Schwimmer, guest star Schwimmer from season 4.
Why?
Rusty.
Oh. Okay.
Rusty Schwimmer, of course, plays the midwife who helps catch Suki's baby, which we got a little blowback on the fact that we were kind of grossed out by it. Actually, you know what? It's an email we got, but I'll read it
later. Were we grossed out by a midwife?
I wasn't that grossed out by it. Not by the midwife, but just by the birthing process in general.
I'm not, though.
Yeah, neither am I. I love it.
Okay.
It's my favorite thing.
You keep doing this thing where you go one way really strongly or the other way very strongly.
Should I just kind of be more
just
of a... Just
lean in the middle. You got no opinion on birthing.
You know what? I'm Switzerland on the birthing process. Oh, but it's that kind of classic banter we've missed doing with each other. Actually,
yeah.
We've done a few things in the interim. We've actually seen each other quite a bit.
Right.
Since, because we hosted a show at UCB. That wasn't our show.
Yeah.
It was another show. It was Mod Night. It was the first time we performed in front of a crowd that wasn't there to see us, and it was...
Strange.
A learning experience.
It truly was.
And then we did another podcast, which will hopefully be out by now, but in case it's not, we won't spoil what it is. But here we are.
It's WTF.
It's WTF, guys.
We followed up Barack Obama.
He said, guys, there's only one guy I want to follow up Barack. It's got to be the Gilmore guys.
It's actually two guys.
Oh, that morphed real quick.
Yeah, I don't know who that was.
But let's stop pitter-pattering and gilly-gallying around and get to our guest, shall we?
La, 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 special guest.
Well, you may know her as the woman that won the internet on At Midnight. She hosts a podcast called Allison Rosen Is Your New Best Friend. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Allison Rosen.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here. That was a really good Marc Maron impression.
Thank you.
It was like he's in the room.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
I never get a positive affirmation on my impression, so that's very nice.
I'm very, very excited to be here. I even brought notes.
She brought a note. Allison has a notebook full of notes.
Can I ask, though, first,
yes,
what was your experience like performing for an audience that wasn't yours? Because I've done both, and it's a different feeling.
It was like, instead of... In a way, when people come, when you do a podcast and you do a live show, people feel like they know you and they're mm-hmm. so on your team. Like the first show we ever did, there were people there that were our friends and then people who were just there to see the show.
Right.
But the vibe was 100% the same from everybody. It was
and
the
like,
same
you feel
energy.
Like you're floating. Like no
yeah.
matter what you say, people love it.
It's fine. Yeah, because they know you. So
right.
There's like mountains of trust that you've built already for like X amount of episodes. Whereas when you're doing it with a crowd that's not yours, it's like... Hey, it's like a first date. It's like, I want to win you over so bad. And what can we talk? What do we have in common? What can we talk about? And
right.
and sometimes the date doesn't go well.
Mm-mm.
And this date went okay. I think they might give us a second date.
Did you put out?
No, we did. At the end, we dropped trowel. Yeah. But and I think that's the thing, because we dropped trowel and then left the stage immediately.
Right.
So it was kind of a weird energy
from us.
They didn't
have time to be like, I'm into this, or I'm not into this.
But what was your experience like?
Well, you know, I was on the Adam Carolla show for years, so that was essentially performing for a crowd that was an audience of his show, which I was a part of, but still it wasn't like they were there just to see me or anything, versus doing Alison Rosen's Your New Best Friend live. I just realized, oh, it's so much less challenging, makes it sound like a pejorative, and that's not what I mean.
Right, but it's more just that you, safe.
Yes, because right away you're hanging out with a room full of people who are excited to see you, and you don't have to be... let's say, like, every joke doesn't have to hit in that same way, because they're just they know so much about you already that they can kind of fill in the blanks. And yeah, it's just, it made me realize, because I've done stand up a little bit, but I'm not a stand up, and I always felt like I could do it, but I don't love it in the same way I love other things. Like, I just wasn't bit by that stand up bug. Mm-hmm. But it made me realize, oh, I sort of get what people love about it when they're performing for their crowd.
Right. Because it is like, what do you have a name for your fans, by the way? Do you have like branding for it? Are they called the Rosebuds?
Ooh, that's nice.
Right?
There have been a few different names for them over the years. There's one that just got trotted out recently, and I'm totally drawing a blank on what it is. There's the JMO Patrol, which is a podcast that's a fan cast dedicated to my podcast.
Wow.
I feel awesome that they exist.
How often do you listen to that?
I listen to it more at the beginning. Uh-huh. Turns out I'm more fueled by reading hateful stuff about myself than listening to love.
I feel that.
I'm like 1/8 joking when I say that. I meant it as a joke, but there's a like scintilla of truth in it actually. It's when I don't listen to every episode. When I listen to it, it's such a weird experience. I feel like I should listen to it more though, but I love that it exists. But anyway, so I do a segment on my podcast called Just Me or Everyone, where people write in with things they think or do, and then we all weigh in on, is it just me or everyone? And so we refer to those as JMOs, and so that's the JMO Patrol. That's where that name comes from.
So JMO Patrol, kind of like Soul Patrol.
Sure.
Taylor Hicks's fan base. Do you guys remember that guy?
No.
From American Idol?
American Idol. He kind of looks like Jay Leno, but he also plays harmonica. And he's a soul singer.
I wish Jay Leno played harmonica.
Hey, folks. I brought a harmonica. See, turns out my Leno isn't as good as my Meredith.
I was like, this is why. Good impressions.
Now, Allison, what is your relationship to the show Gilmore Girls? You just recently started watching
Rosinettes.
It.
I just remember. Rosinettes. That was one. Ooh. That's a new one.
That's lovely. Yes.
And the funny thing is that when I think of the word Rosinettes, I see a hashtag in front of it. I think in hashtags.
You think
now.
In branding.
That's right. That's
like a
terrible.
True podcaster.
So I lived with my sister for years in New York, and she was really into Gilmore Girls. And I was like, this is that show where they talk really fast and I can't stand the cadence. So that was my experience of Gilmore Girls initially, was that I would catch snippets of it and I could never I never wanted to watch it because I was like, I can't stand the way they talk.
Right.
And then on my podcast on Monday, it's a one-on-one celebrity interview. And then Thursday, there's a group of us. And Jenna Kim Jones, who's one of the regulars on the Thursday show, is a big Gilmore Girls fan. And she's talked about it before. And I think she mentioned that it was on Netflix. So I was like, you know, I'm going to check this out because I need a show. So I watched the first episode and I realized that there was so much about the show that I missed when I just caught snippets of it when my sister was watching it, when I was trying to avoid it, which is I didn't even realize the conflict with the different generations. You know, like I missed the whole, I just thought it was annoying women with the same name talking to each other.
I think that is the parody convention, like perception.
Right.
Yeah. That's what the show is. It's like two girls having a slumber party and eating food and talking about, like, that is it.
With like a really mannered way of speaking. So I didn't realize, and I actually got hooked for a while. But I have to say, recently I feel that I have been unhooked. It's not holding my, I'm sorry. What do you guys call it?
The Gillies.
I'm sorry, Gillies. No, Gillies? Not,
just Gillies.
I want to go Gillies Nation. I don't know why.
I mean, Gilly Nation.
But you're
fine.
Global Gilly.
Global Gilly.
I'm sorry, Gillies, I don't know what it is. Now, I imagine everyone sort of has their seasons that wax and wane, right? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people cite season four as one where they're like, I'm not really feeling this.
Okay,
the separation
good.
With Lorelai and Rory.
I want to feel
really
solidarity with the Gillies. So I'm happy to know that for a lot of people, four is maybe a little bit challenging.
Four is challenging, I think, on an emotional level, because what's so lovely about one through three is that's a very comforting show. It's like a very kind of fairy tale. It's
yes.
like a nice pillow you can rest
right.
your head on.
Right.
And then this is like, oh, it's also the real world. And then they miss each, like one story is devoted to them missing each other's phone calls. Mm-hmm. That's unpleasant. You know what I mean? And
right.
so the fairy tale has to come crumbling down
Stay
after a certain
in
point.
Stars Hollow.
Things kind of get dark when you leave Stars Hollow. But I think that's a good story. It's hard because it's like, it's a part of the show, but it almost becomes a different kind of show because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a different sort of vibe altogether. It's not a comforting thing anymore, or as much as it was.
Right, right. Sort of like a show that we mentioned before we turned on the mics, Facts of Life, mm-hmm. which was always my favorite show. I do have affection for all the seasons, but I think when the girls were at Eastland.
Oh, of course.
And then maybe at Edna's Edibles was kind of the glory days of the show, and when they were at Over Our Heads, the novelty shop.
And Cloris Leachman.
Right.
As Andy, lovely as she is, no Mrs. Garrett.
Pippa, I think, might have been.
Is that Sean?
Wear it. No, no. He was Andy.
Okay.
But then they brought in Pippa, who they met on Facts of Life Down Under. She was the Australian exchange student.
There's a Facts of Life Down Under?
Yeah, they go to Australia
yes.
for a movie.
Oh, my God.
But when they went to Paris, that was the best. Uh-oh, let's talk about Gilmore Girls.
I would, Alice and I are going to start a Facts of Life podcast after this.
Can I tell, I mean, yes,
yes,
we should. Can I tell you?
The Chats of Life?
The Chats of Life.
Ooh,
already
nice.
We've got a title.
I would like to know how you guys feel about Jess, because when I first saw him, I didn't see what all the hoopla was about, because I was like in the Dean camp, because I thought he was cute with his tallness and his floppy hair and baggy pants. And
see, girls are into anything.
Right. I guess so. And working. I know you guys have talked about Deuces Market
yeah.
and that craziness.
Deuces Market. Yeah, of course.
That
yes.
The spelling drives me insane. So when I first saw Jess, because I think I knew that she was going to fall for him, and I just didn't. I was like, who is this little nothing? But then all of a sudden I was
little nothing.
Then I realized I think I have a crush on him.
When did that occur?
I don't know exactly.
Was it before or after he forced himself upon her at the party? That's a real leading question, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I think it was before.
It had to be before yeah. he abandoned her without saying goodbye.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, I think it was like the second or third episode, but it made me wonder, did they change how he looked, or did he...
How Jess looked?
Yeah.
Really, but not really.
Really?
I think
okay.
they leaned into the like bad boy persona a bit, but...
At some point, he traded in his... He started wearing some jean jackets,
yeah.
too.
Maybe that's...
In addition to the leather jacket.
That's all I needed. It's just a
just
denim
a jean jacket.
Wardrobe
yeah.
variety.
I mean, he's a good-looking dude. So what are our thoughts on Jess?
Yeah.
Not team
yeah,
Jess.
Yeah, not huge fans. He has some shining moments through, but overall, we're just kind of like, I don't get the appeal of a... In terms of a person that you want to have a relationship with, not just as like an attraction thing, I feel like he's a terrible boyfriend.
He's a good-looking dude.
Yeah.
He may be the dreamiest of all three of them.
He's very handsome. He walks on a cloud,
yeah.
but...
Bruce Springsteen,
he talks out of the
yeah.
side of his mouth.
Well, that's because of his...
Right, dead nerves. I
yep.
looked it up.
The yeah. lip. Yeah.
We should have looked it up before
we made fun of it.
Yeah.
We didn't make fun of it. We just mentioned it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of jaw acting with him.
really
As Jessica
really...
St. Clair once said. but, okay, so you might be Team Jess.
Well, I'm just saying I think he's attractive. And when I first saw him, I really didn't think he was attractive. So I was surprised at how it came around. In terms of what kind of human being he is, like many of the people in the Gilmore Girls universe, probably not so great.
Or most of the people in the Gilmore yeah. Girls universe. Well, this is episode 415. Oh, and before we go on, are you current with where we are today, like this episode? Have you gone ahead? Are you a little behind? Where are you at?
I began to watch the one right after this.
Mm-hmm.
And... Sorry, Gillies. I read ahead, so I kind of have a sense of what's to come,
Ooh.
But I haven't watched ahead. So I'm pretty much just current with this one.
Okay, cool. So we're very... So you and Demi are on the exact same page.
Oh, we
Demi's
are.
Watching for the first time
yep.
as well. So this is for...
There's a lot of spoilers out there in the world.
It's hard.
We went to the reunion and they were like talking about details from the future seasons and I was like, well, at least it happened here.
We're done.
Yeah. It's whatever though.
What'd you say? It's like Hemingway reading you his book?
Yeah, it's like Hemingway telling you the ending of his own book.
So it's not, you know, it's a spoiler.
You're
but it's
honored, but you're also like, I wish you could have found that out.
Which one is Hemingway? Amy?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. She's about to drink herself to death. The Netflix synopsis, probably, for this episode is Rory gets a glimpse of Dean's new life. When Lorelai and Rory spend a day at the mall, they run into Emily on a wild shopping spree.
Okay, the second half of that, yeah, but the Dean thing.
That was such a small plot line.
That was
20 seconds.
Yeah.
And they don't even mention the most annoying B plot, which was Lane and... her
bandmates. Oh, and Christine.
Yeah, Lane and Christine and her aunt and all of that craziness.
Oh, boy. Well, we got to get into it. But before we do, and before we do pop culture, thanks to a listener who found them or archived them, we now have access to all of the promos for every single episode of Gilmore Girls from the WB era.
Oh, amazing.
So... we do have a promo for this episode that we can go ahead and watch. So let's do that together.
Next Tuesday.
Play hooky tomorrow.
I thought you were one of the village people.
Ouch.
Oh, no.
Why are we hiding?
Reflex.
Lorelai, Rory.
We stink at hiding.
Come on, pip-pip. Which ones have diamonds?
Wrap it up.
I like it. Start choosing some shoes.
What is this? It's the food court.
I was married by three. I guess he cut.
All new Gilmore Girls next Tuesday on the WB.
The pacing of that was just awful. It was like that Mad TV sketch.
What is that?
Oh, grab it up. Get the diamonds. Lorelai, Emily.
Where am I? Who is that?
Where am I?
It got real weird
in
at the end.
In this episode, Emily gets amnesia.
and then Dean, she just, and then the string goes.
Yeah.
They really make Dean seem like a bigger plot than he was in the episode.
Yeah. Well, because they have to, and that's what's so funny about the show. You can't market. The grandma has a breakdown. Come watch, kids. Yeah. You know, like they have to do like, Rory's old boyfriend is at it again in the arcade or whatever. Like they have to play that angle. They have to play
the teen romance,
all the drama Obama.
I feel like if this show were on right now and the episode was exactly as it was, that promo wouldn't fly because it just gives away too much of that. Like the Dean thing, when you realize he's looking at Rory, they can't spoil that.
Yeah,
and they'd make it like a Mad Men style promo.
Yeah,
where they reveal nothing.
I just see them turning slowly a lot,
and it's just weird lines out of context. And I think that's actually a really good point because, as a culture and pop culture, I feel like we've all gotten very sensitive to spoilers, for better for the most part, for worse for some parts. But in terms of promos and stuff, looking ahead to these promos at the end of the season, they're awful. Spoilers abound. Like not even trying to hide it. It's terrible. But let's get into it with the segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the episode and put them together in a little supercut and listen back and be like, that's interesting. So this is episode 415.
Spoiler for how we're going to feel.
Sorry, no, I shouldn't have said that. Episode 415, scene in a mall, Pop Goes the Culture.
I just hope Alec Baldwin captures your rare essence.
And slims down a little for the role.
It'll be like we're in an old movie, you know? Walking around, window shopping, like Roz Russell and Ava Gardner on Fifth Avenue.
But don't fret. Maybe the Beatles will be there and you can sit in and jam with them.
Two of the Beatles are dead, Emily.
Only one is dead.
No, a second Beatle died just recently.
Baz Luhrmann's directing, and the movie Luke wears tights and sings. A monk, a trunk, and a skunk.
What are you doing?
Karnak, although I don't have a punchline. Never Stop Johnny. It's pure Dickens.
Well, maybe you should skip displaying your Futurama action figures that might open space up a bit.
Oh, me wants them, my precious.
I love the floorboard thing. It's so Hogan's Heroes.
This is the least amount of fun I've ever had, barring the time we went to Moominshans.
I'll try this.
Orange Julius. Because our once wonderful relationship, envy of all the world, more intimate than that of the naked couple in the Love Is cartoons.
And I'm sleeping with one of the other girls tonight.
How very the L word.
A lot of hip clientele. He pointed out Moby to me. He's that bald musician.
Emily who?
Emily the Strange with the black hat and the boots made for kicking. Who do you think?
Have you heard of the Libertines? What about the White Stripes? Is it over for them? What about Selfless?
Boy,
I'm getting
this
retro.
Girl.
What's a good Zeppelin 2, 3, Freeze That Stairway to Heaven, right?
The drawing of the end came out purple, like eggplant, like Prince chose the color. It was bad.
But your mom makes the guy from Joy Division look like one of the Teletubbies.
Dude, when the Sex Pistols were in together, no way did they have a nightlight. You know that. I read Johnny Rotten's book. There's no mention of a nightlight.
How's Tower of London, sister suffragette? Tuppence a bag.
Hey, kid, do I look green and wrinkly to you? No, that's right. I'm not Yoda.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were one of the village people.
Ouch. Ouch.
I really hate that village people joke because the way she sets it up is like, if you don't have the right reaction, this joke doesn't work.
Yeah, and there was a lot of buildup to just the village people. Like, yeah. It seems like that would be a joke best suited for, hey, village people, what's that? Like, just draw, don't ramp up to it so you can jump over the cars like Evel Knievel for this joke. Not worth it, Rory. Not worth it. Otherwise, fat shaming Alec Baldwin. That's an interesting choice. What is that too far?
No, it's just, I mean, he was like slimmer at a time, right? Like Beetlejuice times, he was.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm not saying like
Matthew Perry style.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying that, it's okay to talk about his. Never mind.
I think weight jokes are just hard in general.
They are.
And we shouldn't. Should...
Well, that's okay. That's the thing. So my husband has been watching with me kind of against his will, and he's like, they're just awful people. They're just awful. They're judgmental. They're like, I forget which episode it was when Lorelai found, this is a retro spoiler, so for anyone who's starting at 4:15, don't listen, found out that Kirk had a crush on her. And the way she treated him, it was like everyone was in on the joke laughing that that he would like her. And that, my husband in particular felt like that was really kind of cruddy.
It was.
Your husband's name Kirk?
Yeah. I go out with James Gunn's brother, Sean Gunn.
That'd be amazing.
Wouldn't it?
They shouldn't have done it to him. They shouldn't have done it. I mean, Kirk in particular, everyone is very, thankfully not really in this episode, but very abusive of him in a weird way.
And when they, sorry, I'll try to keep it on 4:15, but when they egged Jess's car, and that was just some good, clean fun for them?
No, yeah, we talked about it.
Do you use bad words on this podcast? Yeah, that was shitty. Yeah.
It was really fucking shitty. It was terrible. We talked about that, like how he didn't deserve it and how mad he was because he paid for that car with his own money. Like, that's terrible.
Yeah, I was on Jess's side for the first time.
Right.
I think that was. The Gilmore Girls are not good people.
No.
There's a bit in this episode where Lorelai goes up to a strange construction worker and just pretends she's Rory. I was like, this is not fun for him.
Oh, and says, oh, what man would want you? Like something weirdly insulting.
And then, perhaps you can answer this for me. Sure. Then Rory says, come here, bitty bitster. But because I am a weirdo who likes to watch TV with the captions on because it just I like to be able to read as I'm listening. It was captioned BIDDY, BIDSTER, but was it like someone doing bits?
That's what I thought.
Is that what it should be?
I saw the caption too, but I didn't.
Yeah, that makes way more sense to me. That bitty bitster.
Right.
Unless bitty bitster's a person.
Oh, that's a reference I forgot. Bitty bitster actually was a colonel in the South.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Can we talk about something weird that happened at the beginning of the show?
Sure.
Which perhaps stuck out to you guys as well. I don't know.
The fax line?
No, although I know what you're talking about.
I might know what it might be, but continue.
Kirk comes in carrying a large pink bag, which, because we live in 2015, like, you instantly know it's a dog carrier.
Right.
But in Stars Hollow, they just think it's a purse at the beginning.
Well, this is all a part of our segment called...
is this homophobic?
Oh, yes. Okay, we're all talking about the same thing.
Let's play the line.
Kirk.
Luke.
What's with the...
It's not a purse.
I wasn't going to say purse. Oh, sorry. What's with the gay bag?
He says gay bag as if a quote-unquote gay bag is a thing. I think it was a weird line delivery. I think what he meant to say is, what's with the gay bag?
Yeah. I was
gay bag sounds like a insult to a person. Like, hey, gay bag. Like, it sounds like a gay bag.
It sounds like a brand of tool bag. Fruit supplier.
Yeah. What's up, gay bag? Yeah, it sounds like that. Like a fruit supplier.
Like a Dole or a Chiquita or a gay bag. Like, all one word, gay bag.
Gay bag.
Oh, right. Like, where'd you get that apple? It's a gay bag.
Oh, it's a gay bag.
Oh, I love those. Are they in season?
They are. Yeah, they're always in season.
Wasn't feeling that. That was also the beginning of yet another... I guess it was just a little bit at the beginning, because this, by the way, seems like Kirk's pretty good at this job. Until the end.
Until he has a surplus dog. Yeah.
But at the end, it's so enjoyable. There's actually, someone pointed this out to us on Facebook. They were doing a Q&A for Guardians of the Galaxy, and it was Sean and James Gunn together. And at the end, one girl asked what his favorite all-time favorite job was on Gilmore Girls that he got to do. And he said it was being a dog walker. He said it was his favorite job that he ever did.
I really enjoyed the Kirk and the dogs plot. That was a fun one.
It's like one of two jobs he's had where he doesn't completely screw it up.
Yeah, this and the makeup store.
Yeah.
Although he does end up with an extra dog.
It's not a screw up as much as it is like, lost a dog. Too right. good.
He's a little too... That's how we measure how good people are. If they end up with...
It's a ratio thing.
Sure. It's a ratio sans thing.
It's like a profit of dogs.
A restaurant having a fax machine is an interesting choice.
Which, by the way, was a fax line that was put in because of Lorelai.
Right.
Right, because she said people would want to fax in their orders, but it had never happened.
Yeah, because he didn't get a fax machine.
Someone got in a Twitter fight over this on our Q&A.
Oh, really?
Someone
like two other people?
Who needs a fax line? And then someone was like, I work at a restaurant. I need a fax line. And then they went back and forth. I mean, it wasn't an actual fight.
What was their consensus?
I don't know. I didn't tune in for the end of the fight to see who got knocked out. I'm not sure entirely.
Well.
But.
Well, Lorelai's hair is pretty big and funky in this episode, I noticed. When she comes in. When did it get lighter?
When did it get lighter?
Like color-wise?
Yeah. So it's lighter than it was early on, and it also got bigger.
Well, there seems to be like blonde streaks in
it,
right? Yes,
there's definite blonde pieces in there.
This might be the first episode. Yeah,
I don't think it was in the previous
one. No.
Really? Okay.
I mean, it's been 2 weeks, but... Pretty sure.
It's been
2 weeks.
Oh no.
The sequel.
In my head forever.
Sorry. It's okay. What if Bare Naked Ladies came up with that? Like, guys, we got another one.
We got a two-hit wonder.
It's been 2 weeks, but then it's like a sad song about some national tragedy or something. That'd be cool. Anyway. I don't know. The hair is not explained. It's not a part of the story or the plot. I don't know. And I don't think it's consistent. I don't remember having these blonde streaks by the end of the season. So maybe
Lauren Graham went off on her own,
having a day, having a me day, and then it all went wrong. But overall, this episode is what I enjoy about it. Is obviously that's Emily centric and her being my favorite character,
right.
But
really good Emily scenes near the end.
Great Emily scenes.
Yeah.
She's sassy.
The sassiness. And just like the slow, and what's so great about this show is the slow burn continuity of it, of the storytelling, is they set up things in 4:06 that are coming to fruition not until 4:15. And there's actual like an emotional, it's kind of chipping away at her, like Richard's alliance with Digger and her being slighted because of, you know, her parties aren't good enough anymore.
Right.
And the Penland Lot stuff in 4:09. Penland Lot. Good old Penland Lot.
Almost Mommy Penland Lot.
You are my almost mommy.
Again, people thought we were being a little too sensitive about that line, but I think it's still a weird thing to say to someone.
I don't think we were being sensitive enough.
I mean, it makes me feel like she doesn't even understand basic biology.
Right.
If he and Penland Lot had mated, there, it would not result in a Lorelai.
Yeah, it'd be some hybrid. Yeah, so it was clearly just going out of her way to make it weird.
We get another rich person name in this episode.
Oh my gosh.
Eunice Pierpoint Pennington.
Well, I think I have a...
Please.
Look, we single-handedly put your restaurant on the map by praising your crab puffs at Eunice Pierpont Pennington's granddaughter's christening.
They've got to be...
Eunice Pierpont Pennington.
They like Penn.
Yeah.
Penelin, mm-hmm. Pennington.
It's a rich sound.
Mm-hmm. Penn?
It is.
Sean Penn.
Well, there you go.
Robin Wright Penn. Oh, not so much anymore.
Hey.
Robin Wright. No.
No, that's
guys,
not
divorce
anything.
Isn't funny.
It's not a little funny.
No, it's not.
Okay.
But it can be.
It can be. What if you divorce a clown?
Name the... Ooh, that would be pretty silly.
I bet Will Arnett and Amy Poehler's divorce proceedings were hilarious.
No, I bet they weren't.
They're very funny people.
No, even them.
They've got to have like a generator. Like I know that we came up with a formula for them, but they literally have to be hitting a button that's just like Pierpont Pennington.
We should invent that app, the Gilmore Girls Rich Lady generator.
I'm on it.
Just like the thing that was all the rage after the Adele Dazeem thing.
Yes.
I think Slate did that on their website.
Look, BuzzFeed, get in touch.
Right. BuzzFeed, we love you. But we could just call up Lewis and get it started.
He's all of BuzzFeed.
Mm-hmm. He's the only guy that works there.
Lewis Peitzman.
Yes.
Am I saying his last name correctly?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I follow him on Twitter and he follows me.
He's a
lovely.
Good dude.
It's like we're practically friends.
He's been on this show three times.
Thrice.
We love him. We love him so much. But finally, that it's all coming to a head, and especially in the next episode as well, which we'll get into next time. But Emily's frustrations that's building to this thing, and that the form that her pain and her frustration is taking is doing what she does and doing the ordering around salespeople and maids, but to the nth degree. It's like she's bouncing against the walls of the cage of her own life in this episode, you know, because she's just like, da-da-da. Like that, there was that one scene that we all remember where it was kind of a Sorkin-esque walk and talk through the Dillards or whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah, I wrote down J.C.
Is that with the hat and the watch with the diamond and the apples?
Yeah.
The scene?
All that stuff.
It was great.
Building up to this freak out.
Yes, but you've already put quite a dent in your credit card there for things you don't seem to need.
So
it's crazy.
Crazy? You think this is crazy?
Okay, Mom.
This isn't crazy.
I didn't mean to.
That stupid mustache is crazy. That's what's crazy. And your father's job is crazy. That's what's crazy. He was supposed to be slowing down, and now he's club hopping with Jason and hanging out with Moby and having secret lunches with women and lying
Mom,
about it.
Mom, calm down.
Why should I calm down? Are you on his side? Do you like that mustache?
I'm not taking sides.
I should go to bars. I should hang out with Moby. He'd hate that.
Mom, I'm just suggesting that you slow down on the shopping. This doesn't have to be a whole big thing.
Why do I need to slow down? This is what I do, according to Richard. And he's not slowing down. He's got a whole new life. He's got Pendleton Lot. He's got Digger. He's got a mustache. He's got all that. And what do I have? Maybe I should get a job so I can have my own life. I could sell shoes here just as well as Eduardo. I should get an application. Get me an application. Go, go.
Mom.
I hate that mustache and he refuses to shave it.
Mom, let's take a break.
I don't want to take a break.
Well, we do. And my feet are killing me.
Well, then get some new shoes.
Come on.
Awesome.
Very good scene.
This is the scene in a mall.
Truly
Clooney.
Is.
And of course, we know what this title is based on, right?
Yeah, the Woody Allen movie.
Yeah. Which he didn't direct, but he was just
He was literally just in, which is crazy, but it's only crazy for him.
That one, Ants.
Oh, right.
Right?
Oh, for some reason in my head, I thought he wrote Ants.
He didn't. Wouldn't you love to see Woody Allen from Ants and Jerry Seinfeld from Bee Movie teaming up? And like Ant Bees or something, like some sort of comedy
Bants.
Duo? I don't know about Bants.
Bants movie. Come on.
But in this scene, how does it strike you guys? Do you hurt for Emily? Are you like, calm down, lady? Are you?
There are certain things that I don't think it's very well set up, in the sense that we get the Pendleton thing, but that was a while ago. And I feel like that, maybe just for me, but the tension has sort of come off of that because it's been so long since I've seen that conflict. But the tension of the mustache, whatever. The tension of Jason, still there, but I don't think it's enough to sustain this argument, because the previous scene we see her and Richard arguing in is them talking about dinner, and it doesn't feel like a real argument.
Mm-hmm.
The tension of Moby is always there, though. I don't know what's happening outside.
Is there an earthquake happening?
A very long, sustained one.
We're feeling the earth move under our feet.
That's chill.
Welcome to the Carole King podcast.
Is that a song?
What? Oh, you know what it is? It's someone's motorcycle.
Oh, Christopher's here.
Take your shirt off, Christopher. Not again.
I have a question.
Yes.
Are we supposed to assume that she does this all the time, but she's like, does this meaning goes on shopping sprees all the time? Because the way they treat her, it's like, she's a frequent customer at this store. But so she's just kicking it up a notch because Richard had made the comment earlier in the episode that she shops too much.
I think so.
Because
they say, yes, Mrs. Gill. Like, they're definitely familiar with her. So I think it's not this every time. I think, this is like
but
the extreme version.
Right. But like, if this is a 10, it's probably a 7 every time.
Yeah. Probably. I mean,
I hope it's a 5, because even a 7, I feel like, is thousands of dollars.
Oh, Christopher's riding away. Goodbye, Christopher.
Bye, Chris.
Bye.
You're riding for so long.
We'll miss you. See you in Canada. It's where David Sutcliffe lives.
Right.
Yeah. but yeah, it was also one of those things when I was watching it where if you look at the background actors, they're all looking at her way too much. Because I feel like we've probably seen weird stuff in public and you don't just go like, check it out. Come here. Let's watch it. Like, it became like this weird Coliseum event.
Yeah.
Her freak out. But, you know, your heart, this is why I like the character of Emily, because even at this, you understand the pain. You understand how small she feels, and especially with her her conversation with Lorelai in the food court.
You were very forceful.
Was I?
Very, man. I liked how you handled it.
Well, I learned from the best.
From whom?
From the lady eating her hamburger with a knife and fork. That's whom.
Oh, please. I order maids and salespeople around. That's different. I've never done anything.
Mom, come on, that's not true.
Richard's right. I buy things I don't even want. It's all I have.
Okay, that actually makes me a little bit choked up.
Yeah, it's a sad. Did you cry, Kevin?
You know what? Someone asked me that, and I did not.
Hey, way to hold back.
And this is way to have some self-control.
You did it.
I finally did. I didn't cry.
One more shirt without tear stains. But no, it's a very sad moment, and I think we've gotten a similar moment to this before with her realizing that without Richard at work, like, he can't come to all her things because she doesn't have too many things to do that are her own things. So it just reinforces this idea of, like, wait, what's going to happen for Emily? Like, is she actually going to get something to do, or is she going to realize that she doesn't not do anything, quote unquote?
And it's interesting to see her in contrast with Lorelai, because I think probably part of the resentment with Emily and Lorelai and the conflict there is not only like, oh, you didn't raise your kid the way I wanted you to, or you didn't, you know, you weren't a part of a high society and blah, blah, blah. But there's probably some envy there too.
Right.
And there's probably some things like, oh, Lorelai's running an inn. She's building an inn from the ground up.
She's independent.
She's independent, mm-hmm. for sure. nice catch.
Thank
there.
You, yeah.
So you definitely see some jealousy in that. And what I love about it too is that it's very, in this scene, it's just kind of like a sad envy. It's just like a longing. Whereas probably in others, it's been more hot. But even thinking about the way that like Richard reacts to Lorelai in the workplace versus Emily in this scene, where Richard's like, you don't talk to this man like this, and you should do this, and you should da-da-da-da-da. And Emily's just like, this is cool. And she like has a genuine admiration
right.
for her life.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richard has become somewhat awful. Don't you think? And he wasn't for a while. He was more likable, but just lately, and maybe it's with the addition of the mustache, I don't know, but
the
I find he's pretty unlikable. Yeah.
Well,
it's a Samson situation.
Do we
you shave the mustache off.
Do we want to talk about the mustache?
Sure. What? Oh.
All right, if we got to talk about the mustache, then I want to premiere a little bit of a spin-off that I've been planning.
Oh my gosh, what is this?
Emily Gilmore throws a lot of hate towards Richard's mustache, while his mother Trix thinks it's handsome. But what do we think? Should he shave it? Or save it? We'll find out on today's Richard Stash Report.
Welcome to the Richard Stash Report, also known as Gilmore Goatees. I'm your host, Dimi Dijuibe, and today we have two very special guests from the Allison Rosen Is In Your Best Friend podcast, Allison Rosen.
Hello.
And from the Gilmore's podcast and the Sorkinism series on YouTube, it's Kevin T. Porter.
Hi, what up, what up?
Hello. So, let's get into it. Richard's mustache, what do you guys think?
You know what? I like it. I think he pulls it off. Some people, it's too thin and they look a little pedo. They don't look good, but I think it adds not only class, but dignity to his
right.
face with a little bit of fun.
I agree. I wish he had a mustache comb that he'd pull out every so often, though. What do you think, Allison?
It makes him look like a cartoon villain. It makes him look creepy. In the words of my opponent, are we competing here? I decided that we are.
Sure.
It's a debate.
Absolutely.
Just like Paris and whoever we're debating.
Paris and everybody.
Yeah.
Paris and the world.
It makes him look more than a little pedo. Makes him look full on pedo. Mm. I do not like it. It's woman repellent.
Woman, but he's already got his woman, and his woman doesn't like it.
You right, know, that's what I'm saying.
You're turning me around on this, Allison.
Well, looks like we've come to a conclusion.
Wow.
Yeah, he should shave it.
I've really learned a lot about myself today.
So we're in agreement. He should shave it.
Yep.
Well, thanks for tuning in for another Richard Stash Report. So, no, I don't like the mustache either, as you can see from the first episode of my podcast, my new podcast, Richard Stash Report, which will hopefully be coming to you once again if we're not canceled. Kevin didn't know about this. So,
it's a surprise podcast.
What a lovely surprise.
Wasn't it?
I really do think it's fun. Do you think it really looks gross on him?
I mean, gross is an overstatement, but I
so
look at it and
disgusting.
I think
disgusting.
Yeah,
you would
exactly.
say filthy, filthy, mm-hmm. face
repulsive,
hair.
Revolting.
Okay, John yeah. Revolta.
Yeah, yes,
for example. Yeah.
Yes, just like that. Yeah, I look mm-hmm. at it and I think, ugh. Take that off.
Yeah, I don't think it fits his face very well in terms of when I see it. Maybe it's just because we're so used to Richard without a mustache, but I see it and I'm like, either it needs to be fuller or not there.
Guys, it's here for the rest of the show.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's,
okay.
really? It's not going anywhere.
They were like,
wow.
We hit the half
this
point.
Is not a phase.
What if we change it up?
It looks so temporary.
It really does.
I think you guys are going to get used to it. And in this episode, because maybe when I think of the mustache now, I'm thinking of future episodes where it is a little more fully grown in.
Maybe.
Because even in this, he's like, I'm still working on my mustache. Like, it's still a work in progress.
Right. To make a very tired reference for me, it looks like at the end of Hot Rod where he finally starts growing in a mustache and it's very thin.
I still need to see that.
I wonder why they or he decided to do it, though, because he looked fine without it.
I like to
Much
imagine he just
friendly.
Started growing it, and they were like, we can't tell him not to. He's a special appearance by. We don't have any rules here.
I think that was the thing with Digger, too, because I think he was not going to have a goatee. Mm. And then they're like, oh, you're working on your goatee. Cool. Like, within the show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then they had to incorporate it.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Digger's goatee on the other podcast.
Oh, well, we'll do it on the next episode,
on the next
buddy.
Episode. Okay.
But maybe, or maybe here's what happened. Maybe, you know, Edward Herrmann's going home, he's heading back home, he's getting in his car, and a cute PA comes up to him and says, hey, great work today. I watched your scenes in Video Village. They were really good. He's like, oh, well, thank you, young lady. And she says, you know what? I think you'd look very handsome with a mustache. And he says, well, I'll take that into consideration. And then all the way he's driving home, he's like, a mustache.
And then that PA is never seen again, but he's like, I'm going to keep wearing it in case she shows up.
Maybe she'll come back.
Yeah.
That's the great love story of our time.
And Amy, is there a PA around here?
That... With a taste for facial hair.
Oh. Yeah. Now it's kind of cute. So there's, of course, this scene.
What is this? It's the food court.
And it's a good scene, but I felt like it lacked a little something, so I fixed it.
Oh.
Where are we going?
Right around the corner here.
Yep.
We really should have taken our bags.
You said they'd hold them.
I'm told you turned around. Where are we?
We'll smell in a second.
What is this? It's the food court.
Perfect. The camera spins around her. Orange Julius, Panda Express, Auntie Anne's, another Auntie Anne's.
Cinnabon.
McDonald's.
My God, look at the Cinnabons.
A Fruit Lottie.
Is that a Jamba Juice?
If Richard were here, you'd get that scene of him continuing to be like, oh, Emily, where are we going? And then she grabs his head and turns him to the dinosaurs or the Cinnabon. They just both stare in wonderment.
Oh. I did find it a little unbelievable that she's like, but how does this work? What are these? What's that? I mean, I get that she's maybe never seen a food court before, but presumably...
She knows what a hamburger is.
Yeah.
For someone who's been in a mall as often as she is, you'd think she would walk
understand
through it once?
Understand that... Like how it all works.
Yeah. Maybe she's so classic.
I suck on this thing. Come in this drink.
Maybe when she walks by, she's like, "Don't look at the poor people. Don't look at the poor people." And she just like puts up a blinder.
Too many lights. It smells. I'm leaving.
I know. It is a bummer to think she's never experienced the joy of Panda Express. Also, let's talk about the fact that
there were six drinks at the table for three of them.
Yes. The whole day, Lorelai and Rory decide because they haven't connected, and they spent the whole episode not talking to each other. Let's go window shopping, like in the movies. Mm-hmm. I can't think of any movies with window shopping.
Thank you.
Breakfast at Tiffany's,
too.
Like the first.
Okay, I thought you were saying I can't think of any. I was like, there are tons.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm saying they say I can't think of any movies
right.
with window
yeah.
shopping. And for as literate as these girls are.
There's so many.
Breakfast
for
at Tiffany's.
For as illiterate in movies as I am, there are so many.
So it's weird, but then. They stop doing that because it bumps them out. So they go in, it bumps them out. And they're like, we can't spend any money.
Because they're skint.
Okay, let's spend $200 in garbage food at the food court.
You're right. They bought so much food.
Here's
Suddenly
the
they
food
had
is
money.
Sustenance. They need it, though.
If,
that's probably how they just
If they
it.
Stopped eating out every day,
mm-hmm.
they could have paid for the inn 20 times over
for,
by now.
For a place that's as sleepy as Stars Hollow, there's a lot of restaurants that deliver, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah, Al's Pancake World.
A lot of restaurants with very niche types of food.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like Moroccan. Why is that in Stars Hollow?
Moroccan's at Al's Pancake World.
Why is Al's Pancake World in Stars Hollow?
Because it's all international cuisine.
But so it's all the international cuisine.
Yes.
It's not just one. Okay.
I think.
Terrible.
I think
Pancake
that's the World. Idea. Yeah. Well, they said it started as a Pancake World and then it changed international cuisine and he never changed the name. Out of
respect for the
out
pancakes.
Of respect for the pancakes. Got to give it up for the pancakes, baby. Did you like when they hated on emojis?
And then you added yes. one of those obnoxious hieroglyphics that I can never read. They're supposed to indicate you're laughing or smiling or frowning or vomiting. I don't know what.
Hieroglyphics.
So that's emoticons, I'm sure, that they're yeah. arguing
yes.
about. Do you think Lorelai would be pro emoji?
Totally.
I'm kidding. Oh. I made the motion as if I was going to play another podcast called The Emoji Report.
Right.
If only.
And then Rorelai refers to them as cutesy symbols. And I enjoyed that because that was how I felt about emoticons for years and years and years
yeah.
until now I've come around and I like emojis and I like all that stuff. It's weird. But
In our correspondence, Allison only responded to our emails
that's
in emojis.
That's right.
It's very
said, can you do it on Sunday? She just sent thumbs
smiley
up.
Smiley face.
See you then. Check
sunglasses.
Mark, check mark, 100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. check mark, 100.
Yeah. And then I was like, sorry, can't make it. And then it was just the one of like someone getting their fingernails painted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was a whole story.
What is this one? This is hard because it's a podcast. But what is this one where the girl has her hands
crossed
like this?
Oh, the like no
this?
Go, but she's smiling?
What
no
does that
rape.
Mean? It was,
oh, I thought it was like air traffic control, but for
oh,
women, because it's 2015.
True. Oh, because women can be air traffic controllers now? Yeah, that's
yeah.
something we need to talk about, actually. I'm glad you brought that up.
Right.
Have you guys seen Inside Out yet, by the way?
Yes.
No, I've heard it's so good.
You did see it?
It's great. I didn't
gets
cry.
You right in
I got
heart.
Close. Not at the moment you'd think. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
I cry easily. I'll be a puddle by the end,
yep.
right?
You will. Oh. You'll be a puddle by the first scene.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I started crying in like the first 5 minutes.
The closest I got was in a scene that is like, if people, I'll tell people and they'll be like, what? That's not.
All right, anyway. We'll talk
is
about
it
later.
Enjoyable sad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so
it's
funny,
hilarious.
Too.
Yeah.
All right.
It's very funny and
it's not
very
like,
well
brutal.
Written.
It's not like Game of Thrones where it's just bleak and hopeless. And
I had to check out of Game of Thrones a while ago. It was too dark for
it's,
me.
It's too much.
So you heard it here first. Inside Out is not like Game of Thrones.
You heard it here first. 3 weeks from when we're recording this.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, Squarespace is, I'm going to say it, gang. It's a product I actually use. I've been using it for 10 years now. I've made every single website I've made in the last decade using Squarespace because Squarespace actually has everything I need. If you want to start a completely personalized website with a new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint is your answer. Choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business, and optimized for every device. Easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. You can do so much with Squarespace, like email campaigns for outreach. You can have analytics to find out who's visiting your website and why. You can have eShop e-commerce functionality. I used that when I was doing my little bake shop on there for a while. I stopped doing it, but man, the website I had for a little bit looked really good because I used Squarespace. And there's so much I didn't know about setting up my shop that they were able to answer for me over the chat and their award-winning 24/7 customer support. So right now, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, let's talk about your social battery. What is it right now? Is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Why is it at the level it's at? There's all these external factors that can make it the way it is. Maybe you're less social during certain seasons. Maybe you're experiencing a lack of boundaries with certain people that's making it more drained than it needs to be. Well, either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for 11 years now, and it has been vital and crucial for figuring out how to not overexert myself socially, to keep my battery at a good charge, to not keep it too drained when I'm dealing with all the people that I actually want to be dealing with and not dealing with people in the way that I don't want to be, which is of course due to a lack of good boundaries or how to cope with people. And you learn how to do those things with therapy, because therapy gives you the tools to tune in to yourself and understand, oh, I need this. I don't need this. I need to communicate this. I need to say this. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
So I think that Lorelai and Rory would definitely use emoticons to go back to that.
Totally.
That emoticons fit in with their personality. They would, the part of their personality I don't like.
They would, yes. They would want, because that's a really good point, that there's a dualism there where they, because it's a pretty feminist show altogether. Like, I think that's very safe to say. But at the same time, the characters, and not in a way that contradicts, but they indulge in those, like, the quote-unquote girly girl things. Like,
they're pretty cutesy smug.
Yeah.
At times.
Totally.
Yeah.
We're funny. That's what.
If this were Meghan Sherlock with the whole, like, popping up text and where you can see everyone's text as they're sending them, I bet we'd see a conversation between Lorelai and Luke where Luke is trying to say something serious and she's just responding with, like, emojis.
the girl shrug, this one.
Yeah, the red dress lady dancing.
Yeah. Did you cash the check for $30,000? Emoji. Talk about that. Let's talk about $30,000 check.
Oh, yeah.
That
real
Luke
casual
just slips right to her like a freaking napkin.
So he says something that I feel like they should have touched on more, where he's like, you're not going to see her when they're talking about Nicole. Does that mean she's out of the picture now? Or because if she's not, then she should definitely know about the 30,000. Or is that a conflict in an upcoming episode?
I think it might be a subtle hint.
Okay.
And I'm saying it coyly because I don't remember.
Okay.
But definitely. Oh, and let's talk about... Oh, I want to talk about Dean's mother-in-law, Lindsay's mom.
Yes.
Does she have a name?
Not that I remember.
It starts with a T. Teresa.
Teresa.
She's teaching Lindsay how to cook.
Yeah.
Teaching Lindsay how. Okay, so in this scene, Teresa and Lindsay come to meet Dean for lunch at the construction site
where
at his place of work.
Only one wearing a hard hat.
Right.
Yep. Probably because he thinks it makes him look cute.
Like the village people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he was begging for that joke. Maybe he saw Rory through the window. He's like, I'm going to put this on. I know she'll make
Tom,
the joke.
Tom, give me your hat. Yeah. I need this. Give me your hat.
No, get another hat. And so they come in and they have lunch with Dean, which is like a recurring thing for them. They say, oh, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
So Lindsay
Someone
at
broke
this
their teeth on peanut brittle yesterday.
Yeah. Gosh. Brutal. But Lindsay at this point, she's a nice young lady. If she has a sin, it's that she's boring, right?
But sure. And that her hair is a little too light for her eyebrows.
Yeah. Oh, her hair's weird in this one. It's kind of like brownish. It used
yeah,
to be
it's
blonde.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Maybe she was shooting a movie. She was in John Tucker Must Die. Maybe she was shooting that at the time. But she wasn't. It was like 2 years before.
I was about to say.
Yeah. But she's not bad. She's not bad people. She's just like too interested in laundry detergents. Like, we found a new laundromat, yeah. Better detergent, better solvent, or whatever she says.
I'm really into the environment, is what she said, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, she's not hateable. And I don't think we're supposed to hate her, which I think is
Correct.
A very, very nice choice. However, her mother, not feeling that.
Really?
I'm not.
I didn't have any opinion on her mother. What
really?
What did she do or say? I don't...
Maybe this is also colored by people's experience with her in the future, but someone on Facebook put it very nicely, Catherine Dabb said, "Am I alone in feeling very uneasy after every scene with Lindsay's mom? She's like a grown-up, very enthusiastic Tracy Flick who never fully realized any personal goals and is now way too focused on her daughter's life."
Yeah, I mean, I don't see that in this episode.
Yes, as someone who is still hasn't gone ahead, I also am not seeing it yet.
Maybe.
I could see someone hating a grown-up Tracy Flick, but also...
Right. I'm thinking of the scene, too, where she's, like, really invested in the wedding planning.
That's the only thing
I've... And chicken and beef. Yeah, and just the idea of a mom, I don't know. And maybe, yeah, it's probably colored by future episodes, but there's a perception, there's a characterization that they're going after right now.
Can we talk about the fact that Rory apparently makes something that she refers to as radiator quesadillas?
Oh, they slipped that in real quick.
Is it even possible to do that?
It's
gotta be. Unfortunately.
Well, let's try it.
Welcome to the Gilmore Girls Cooking
Club. Well, I'm going to play some music and we'll do it all and then we'll come back and see what we thought of it.
Okay.
That was not good. That was not good. Why did we do that? Demi's choking on him.
I ate two.
You should have stopped after one.
I should have not gone onto the one.
That was a bad move.
Yeah.
Allison just threw hers out.
Mm-hmm. And then the sprinklers came on from all the smoke.
Right. Yeah. Which should have been a sign, but I was very hungry.
But yeah, guys, don't do radio. Well, how does she not have a microwave?
I was just thinking that. What?
She has a TV, like a giant TV console with a DVD player, a nice couch and everything. No microwave.
If she was living in the Bronx or something, maybe. But like her dorm room is a mansion, like most dorm rooms on TV shows.
Right.
It has a crafting corner.
Yeah. Crafting corner. Yeah. Anyway. Let's go to some Twitter Q&A.
Twitter Q&A.
Jin Huling asks, rough estimate of how much Emily spent?
Ooh, that's a good question. I was wondering, and I was actually hoping you guys might have tallied that up.
Oh, I wish.
I mean, if we're talking about Armani, she says get 6 suits for Richard.
Brioni, right?
Brioni.
And she bought a wedding dress, a Vera Wang wedding dress.
And was just pointing to like diamond watches and saying that one. It's got to be like 50,000 minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think? 5 or 6 figures? I bet 6. I bet it goes into 6.
6. Maybe just on the edge of 6.
Mm-hmm.
In 2003 money or 2012 money? Just kidding. I think it's 6 figures.
Or 2015 money.
Well, what did I just say? 2012?
What year do you think it is?
Wait, who's the president? Well, that wouldn't
Who am I? Who's Demi?
Wait, did I just say 2012?
Yeah.
That's weird. I meant 2015.
Maybe you...
Or did I?
...want it to be 2012 for some reason.
I know, I'm trying to think back to what was going on in 2012.
Yeah, I was even like,
what was the best year of your life?
I don't even remember how old I was in 2012.
I would say the best year of my life is either 2011 or 2015. Truly.
What happened in 2011?
2011 was just like, there's nothing huge that happened, but there was like a consistency and like a slow hum of goodness that was like very comforting.
I'll say 2012, actually. I think the latter years of college for me were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You were in college in 2012?
Yeah.
Wow. There's no particular year that is springing to mind, so I'm going to say 2015. This is really my year.
This is it.
I'm here.
This is the year of the Rosen.
That's right.
Finally, baby.
Rosenettes. Rosen hell.
Rosen hell. Is your favorite movie Rosen Arizona?
Yes.
Okay. Cassie asks, what is your mall food court go-to?
Panda Express. No, Manchewalk.
Manchewalk?
Yeah. I'm a gross person.
I try not to go to food courts.
Well, yeah, I'm never making a beeline for a food court, but if I end up in one, that or like a Auntie Anne's.
Okay, I'll say Cinnabon. I get like 3 of them.
Three Cinnabons?
Yeah, for later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't really have a food court go-to, but I do get coffee quite a bit, so, just like Lorelai.
Yeah.
So probably like a coffee bean or something like that. Or if it's a place where you can make your own salad, sometimes they have those.
They have those at food courts?
I'm sure they do in California.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do that sometimes.
I don't think I've been to an indoor mall in California yet in like the 2 years I've been here.
pooped. Oh, by the way, this episode, I think it was the mall in Burbank, if I'm not mistaken.
I was trying to figure that out.
I think it's the mall in Burbank. We'll get corrections when I'm wrong. But it looked like it probably, it wasn't the Beverly Center.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't the Grove.
It was not the Grove.
I wondered if it was West Side Pavilion.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. It was either though, yeah.
Yeah. The one in Sherman Oaks?
No, the one that's not in Sherman Oaks.
Whatever mall it is.
I forget where it is.
What's that? Oh, they have a Gap. They have a Forever 21.
Only clue.
Yeah. But Poop Doctor has a question. I don't know about this one. Do you think Emily had to drop? I don't know if I can read this one.
Come on.
Sure you can.
I'll read it.
Do you think Emily had to drop a hot deuce right after that fast food burger like I always do after eating one?
Oh, that's not as bad as I thought question. I was going to. Yeah. I don't think rich people poop.
Do you think they're above it?
I think that once you hit like $1 million, once your net worth is seven figures, someone just comes and's like, ding, no more pooping. And they're just like, thank you. Thank you, wizard of wealth.
That's the world I want to live
in. Thank you, Wizard of Wealth.
And they use all that extra non-pooping time to just manage their funds.
Exactly.
If I could get to that level of like net worth where I didn't have to worry about that, I would try everything. I would kill people to get to that net worth.
Oh, I thought you were going to stop and kill people. It's like,
Do you hate pooping that much or just?
No. Yeah, I do. Okay. I love it. May have a weird issue with that. I don't know.
A weird issue because you hate pooping? That's not a weird issue. I don't think anyone's like, yes.
Here we go.
I only eat so I can poop.
Right. Do you poop to eat or eat to poop? Right.
You know, that is the age old question. It's kind of a chicken and egg thing.
Right. You
know, it's a nice chicken or the egg thing.
As much as I was like, come on, you've definitely seen a hamburger before. I loved seeing Emily
eat it with a fork and knife.
Yeah, just her when there was a scene in a previous episode where she eats a frozen pizza for the first time and is like over the moon about it. I love those. I would watch entire series of like Emily deposits a check at a Chase bank or like
Emily descends into the middle class.
Right, yeah. Emily hits up a self-service car wash.
Emily finds Orange Julius quite good.
Yes.
I've never been to an Orange Julius. Do they still exist?
I didn't. I'm sure.
That was my reaction when I watched it. Oh, they still had them then?
Because
I remember
them
from my childhood and I was born in 1861.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. You look good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
You must have been hit by the wealth wizard as well. He also stops people from aging.
Aging and pooping.
Yeah.
The two sins of our generation.
Mm-hmm.
Both represented by emojis.
Oh my gosh. That's true. Mm. What else do I want to talk about?
There's a very weird line that Rory says. It's not that weird, but it's like, it didn't make sense to me. When she's like, you let her buy me a wedding gown, and she goes, how do you stop a top from spinning?
Oh,
you just
yeah.
do. What are you talking about?
You're right. That's actually really, it's more like, it should be like, how do you stop a tornado
from hitting
a fan or something. Yeah.
Like, I was just like, grab it? What? I don't know.
The first thing I thought of was Inception, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how do you? But in 2003
really
and 4, that doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, you were saying.
Oh, let's talk about...
So how's married life treating you?
Good. Real good. Lindsay's great.
Yeah, she seems great.
Yeah, and then her parents are fantastic. I mean, they help out so much.
Like with the cleaning up.
Yeah, and her dad's over all the time fixing things. Lindsay's got this list for him to do. And
great.
They're just the most unselfish people I know.
Yeah, I've seen him around.
As compared
dad works
to the
county. Doesn't he? He's a surveyor or something?
Yeah. He used to, but I think now he...
Fade up on the music.
I think he's he manages an apartment, so he oversees the guys, and he's not really
not surveying much.
Yeah, he's not in the field much.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll let you get back to your game.
Yeah. Hey. See you later, man.
Thanks.
Rory has the same effect on him that like getting hit by a baseball would. Like he just goes dumb.
I mean, that is the most stutters we've ever heard in Gilmore Girls dialogue ever.
Yeah,
it really turns him dumb.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, I don't like that moment. I think only because of the choice to put music under it. I think if they had played it dry, like they do so often with these kind of moments and
like
scenes,
the ending.
like the ending was perfectly done because there was no music to tell you how to feel. But with this, I think if they had played it dried, I would have found it like 100% more effective.
Also, am I supposed to feel sympathetic for Dean?
Yeah, and also, when did they get into arcade games?
Yeah, I don't know. Are we supposed to believe that he only goes there to spy on Rory, and because of that, he's become a master of all of these machines?
No,
but Luke went. Do we know that Luke is into arcade games? Has that come up before? Because no. Luke went in and
Luke
asked
was
for
just
change.
Getting change.
Oh, he was just getting change.
Not to like hit up the Frogger or something.
Okay,
that'd be great.
Damn it, Frogger!
Cross the street.
But it seems like, and maybe this is just my anecdotal experience, but video games is like shorthand for bad husband.
Oh.
Is what I feel.
Tell that to my husband.
Oh, is that true?
I'm just kidding.
Uh-oh.
I'm just kidding.
No.
You can't get him off the Mario
games.
Wii.
Yeah.
I can see that, especially if it's like it's him escaping from the house to go to an arcade.
That's a bummer.
It did seem like he was overcompensating a bit when he was talking about Lindsay's family.
Mm-hmm.
I think any time a man over a certain age spends over a certain amount of time alone playing video games, it's a bad situation.
We're going to get a lot of mail about this.
You think? No.
No, I'm just saying from the guys that listen to this, I'm sure they'll be like, there's nothing wrong with playing
I don't think there's anything wrong.
Wait, Kevin, are you saying you think in the world of the show and in TV shows it's that? Or are you saying you think that?
Well, I'm kind of sort of think that, but I do think in the world of TV shows, like to
TV
show,
shows, it's definitely
oh, this guy's
show.
Checked out. This guy, no, because obviously
he loves his video game
wonderful,
kids
intelligent
more than his
people.
Real kids.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's amazing people who are like gamers, quote unquote. But
name two,
Thomas Milditch and Felicia Day.
All right,
okay.
Name four.
No, I can't.
No, I'm kidding.
Felicia Milditch and Thomas Day.
Well, yeah, wow.
Yep. And but no, like. Yeah, and I think that's what it's supposed to represent. But because the Paladinos probably aren't up with the times, it wasn't going to be like, I got a new Xbox, Luke, check it out.
They didn't want any specifics on the video.
They didn't want any specifics. So it was literally just like Atari or whatever it was. And it actually worked that it was at an arcade because it was an escape somewhere to go.
Considering the specificity of all their cultural references, though, it's weird that they didn't get someone who could just be a consultant and be like, have him play World of Warcraft, or I don't actually know if I'm choosing a time appropriate one, but
that might be a thing.
I think it was important to get him into a place where he could see Rory, though, if they really wanted that moment.
That's true.
But I think you're right in that. That's a really good point in that. For a show that's so kind of like the way Stephen King used brands in his short stories and novels and stuff, where it's like, oh, it's Coke, like it's not like Coke generic or whatever it is. Like
cola.
it's always like a specific thing. It's always Walmart, not the Mart store or something, to create the world and create the specificity of the universe. The same with Gilmore, like President Bush is the president on this show,
right.
And all the brands are the brands that they are. You don't often, sometimes, but you don't often see like Taco Barn, you know?
Yeah.
Like you did in a few episodes, right?
I think they only do that when it's like, we're going to shit all over this place.
Sure.
Can't have it be Taco Bell.
Yeah, so...
But in a way, and you guys might have talked about this before, but like it's almost a little bit incongruous in the world that they live in because Stars Hollow is so... like not of this world and kind of ephemeral and fictional. And then to have that collide with all these very, very specific references, which I think is... It becomes familiar because it's just that's what Gilmore Girls is, but it's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
Totally. It's the peanut butter and chocolate of the show where you take something super of realism and something super heightened and you mash them together.
Yes.
Just kind of like what we were talking about with Jane Espenson of like the tone of stories. There's no thematic, often no thematic threads that tie the A story and the B story. It's just like a thing happens and another thing happens and that's what it is.
Right. They're just like, we're moving this annoying Lane story forward.
You find it annoying?
I don't find the Lane story annoying. I found the scene with her cousin and her aunt annoying.
Yep.
And a tiny bit, do you have an is it racist?
We talked about it. Yeah.
And that's okay to say. Yeah. It's a little bit
the
racist.
Depiction of like Asian families, you know how that is.
Back
like,
away from
well,
Lane.
Just like
what'd she say? Step away from Lane.
Yeah, that. So we already know how cold Lane's mother is towards Lane, and then this is the first time we see her sister and daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like out of a cult. Like, yeah. There's something so creepy and frozen and chilly about them. But then the second that, so the sister and cousin are there because the cousin, Christine, that's her name, right, is there to help Lane pack up her things and make an inventory list. And then the second the cousin gets alone with Lane, she's like Lane times 1,000 in terms of just the rapid fire speaking that makes me want to die.
Oh, I did not like Christine at all, but I got that. She had to be there because of Lane. Like, Lane needed to explode, and it couldn't just be at her mom.
Right.
So, necessary evil.
Necessary, yeah. Christine, the true necessary evil.
But then I actually felt a tiny bit bad for Christine when Lane was so mean to her.
Yeah, I did too, but I was...
Well, which is it, Allison?
I don't know.
You feel bad when someone's mean to anyone in a TV show, but it's not... She wasn't being mean. It wasn't, like, mean in responding to mean.
Right.
So, of course you feel bad.
Right.
But
the whole story of them moving into the apartment, I like those dynamics. I like
it was so cute when she just like hugged them for getting a shelf.
For it's such a small gesture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing I like about this show is like the stakes are always relatively low, but always very personally high in that it's small gestures like that that are the meaningful moments and bind us all together as humanity. Is this my acceptance speech?
I guess.
I'd like to thank my team, my manager.
Team. Yeah. No names, huh?
My A team. I think I had another soundboard. Oh, I wanted to talk about this real quick.
Reflex. We have to say hello to her.
Why? Because we're two ships. We're passing.
If she sees us hiding, we're going to have to explain.
So hide good.
Okay, so that is, I think, one of the only times we've ever heard truly, like, on top of each other, Robert Altman-style dialogue on the show. Here's my theory. Is they were location shooting. It was, like, the end of the time that they were allowed to be in the mall. And that was, like, the only usable take. Because it sounds like Rory comes in and starts her next line, but then realizes it's a mistake. Listen to it again.
Do it again?
Reflex. We have to say hello to her.
Why? Because we're two ships. We're passing.
If she sees us hiding, we're going to have to explain.
So hide good.
Yeah.
You're right.
I think that was a Gilmore goof. I mean, it's not really
a goof. It still works.
I'm just saying, like, because they're so specific about, like, there's no overlap. Like, there's a lot of talking, but there's no, like... like layering of the dialogue, you know?
I think it's only a goof to the cast and crew, but I'm sure they were all just like, it works.
And now all the gillies who are listening.
Yeah.
Great. So I've ruined the show for a lot of people.
This is now one of the worst episodes.
There was a goof I caught in, I think it was season one, and I'm wondering if you guys talked about it or noticed it. It would have been better if I came in knowing the exact episode, but it's either Rory or Lorelai talking to Max, and you see a classroom scene, and you see like the bell rings, and the girls all leave.
The boom mic?
No, you see the girls' legs in the corner of the screen. So it's like, as the audience, you're supposed to think everyone cleared out, but what really happened on set, I'm sure, is that everyone like cleared out 2 feet and then just was like frozen in the corner. But you actually can see the bodies in the very corner of the screen. Yes.
Creepy. Might have been a widescreen thing.
I bet it was a widescreen thing.
There you go.
Because it's composed for 4:3, and now it's in widescreen, which Daniel Palladino was very stoked about at the reunion.
Yeah.
He was like all about it. This was written by Daniel Palladino, by the way, this episode.
Oh.
Seen it in a mall. But he was so stoked about like, oh yeah, it's in widescreen for the first time, and I'm such a nerd, and blah, blah, blah. And when we talked to him, we didn't say, so, you know, there's a lot more goofs now that's in widescreen.
Your show's actually been ruined by the thing
there's
you love.
Actually a lot of lighting equipment visible now, which there is. There's a lot of lighting equipment
I haven't noticed that
visible.
Yet. I'm going to have to look for that.
It's not like crazy goof or like huge, but there's certain scenes where it's like, uh-oh, whoops.
Did you get a sound clip of Kirk celebrating with the dogs?
No, I should have. I'll drop it in right now.
We don't like beer. Beer's bad. Cookies.
Cookies, yeah.
That was great.
Why does he not like beer?
I think he was just saying that because like the dogs can't drink beer. Like he thinks they can hear him.
Maybe he had a traumatic experience with beer.
Oh, I want a sad backstory for Kirk.
Maybe his mom like drowned him in beer one time to teach him a lesson. I'm just saying, maybe.
Like she fills a bathtub with.
She caught him drinking beer and she's like, then you have to drown in beer.
Yeah, she like beer boards him.
Oh, great.
And ever since then, he's like, we don't like beer, do we? But then,
you're right.
as a peace offering, she
gave him
cookies.
Right.
Which is why, see, Kirk's story.
Kirk is like mommy dearest alive.
No more wire hangers. We don't like wire hangers. Wooden.
One of my favorite lines of the show was Emily saying, I was just admiring your mother's life. And Roy says, I do it daily. It's great.
Yeah.
And an uncomplicated, in a weird way, this episode had a reverse arc of what usually happens with Lorelai and Emily. Usually it's like things are going real well and like, oh, they're getting along and they're like having moments and they're exchanging like real connection. And then something goes bad. And then someone says something or someone screws up something and that ends kind of shitty. But in this, things explode and then there's like a reconciliation period, which I think is really interesting. So like she makes a big scene in the store and then they reconcile, they eat over $1 million worth of food in the food court. And then she sees, you know, she sees the good things about Lorelai and the good qualities about Lorelai. And the episode gets to the end without another sort of conflict between the two of them.
And I think when Rory says, what's the line she says? I do that all the time.
Mm-hmm. I do it daily or something.
Then it looks like Emily looks at Rory with wonderment. Like that's further reason for her to admire Lorelai's life is that she has a daughter that admires her life.
Right. That's the thing. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Emily's like, Rory looks perfect. We love Rory. And so that's a good, what would that law be? Like, whoever you admire, who they admire, you must also admire if you admire them.
It's like a transitive property.
Yeah. The transparent property. Jeffrey Tambor. And then what else do we need to go over? I mean, that last scene is A+.
What do you think of these?
Hmm?
The apples.
Oh. I've always liked those.
How many dinners have we seen where it's just the two of them?
Not many, if any.
Not many, right? Because usually
so it's Friday night dinners.
Right, exactly.
But there's got to be some scenes where people send in the tweets. But I feel like it's one of the only of maybe a handful of scenes, if not the first scene, where it's just them two together.
If it is the first scene, I understand, because it. Any other scene where we see them like that would be notably sad. Because I think seeing them in such a situation where they're at the end of this long table, that's not a romantic dinner. Like, there's conflict there innately in just how it's framed. But just the line of, like, I've always liked them.
Is devastating.
It really is.
Yeah. All subtextual. Like, thankfully, this is not an explicit show. Like, she doesn't turn away and say, he doesn't even notice me or something. You know, like,
he doesn't even know they're new.
Yeah, I guess it actually gives the audience a lot of credit.
Yeah.
To know what's going on. Okay, so aforementioned husband was watching while I was watching, and he's like, this is a
Kirk.
Reference.
Yeah.
Right, right. So was hanging out with Sean Gunn, as I do, because we're married. And he said, this is an allusion to Citizen Kane. And
is
I thought, I don't... Because in Kane, I guess they sat at tables like this. To me, it's just this is how all estranged rich people
trope.
Eat. Yes.
I think it could be a trope set up by Citizen Kane.
That's what I'm wondering.
Perhaps,
yeah.
But I feel like, that's Citizen Kane's a part of a litany of, like, I feel like I've seen on The Simpsons and
Trading and Places.
I love Trading Places.
I've never seen it. Oh, you haven't?
No.
Me neither.
I love Trading
Spaces.
It's from 1861.
From TLC. Same thing.
Okay.
Right. Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy.
Is it on Vine? Because if not, I haven't seen it. should we do fashion?
I guess we gotta.
Fashion. Let's talk about Paris. Doesn't have much in the episode.
She's a germaphobe.
Yeah. She's trying to burn.
She's blowtorching the door, which I don't understand.
I hope she goes all Bubble Boy in the next season.
But what I don't like about the way they're dressing her this season is like, it's all very muted. It's such a muted palette with her. It's all like these earthy, not in a good way tones, like these browns and like these colors
like
that
they
aren't
muted
very flattering.
When she's not supposed to be the focus of. Like, when she doesn't have a storyline that's particularly her. Because she has that one yarn sweater that's really colorful in the previous episode.
Yes, that's true.
But
so there's that. I like Rory's black sweater in that same scene.
Yeah.
And I love kind of their outfits for the big shopping day at the mall. Like the rose and
the double strap sweater.
Jacket, the brown leather jacket. Yeah. The ornamental scarves.
Fashion actually became part of the plot in this episode because remember, that was this episode, right?
Yeah.
Where Rory takes off her jacket and Emily sees her dress. No, sorry.
Oh, Lorelai does.
Lorelai takes off her jacket. Emily sees her dress and insults her dress. I didn't think there was anything wrong with her dress.
No. I couldn't figure that out. I couldn't figure out if that was, oh, you've worn it before? Because she does mention that. Like, people have seen you in that outfit before. Or if it was like, you look, because it's kind of tight or something, mm-hmm. that's like slutty looking. But I didn't, that was unclear to me as well.
Do you think it was like, oh, this is unfitting for where we're going sort of a thing?
Maybe.
Because she says that's Richard too. Yeah, bestied.
Bestied, where she had to fight her way to get a reservation.
Penny Pinkerton.
Eunice Pierpoint Pennington.
Eunice Pierpoint Pennington, of course, of course. But yeah, that was, I think there was a lack of clarity there. I don't know if there's supposed to be, but there was. Emily has a red jacket, kind of army vest and a fur coat.
Yeah.
That was on point. They don't dress her in red too much, do they?
They don't.
Well, she's angry.
Ah, it's mood just like dresses. Inside Out.
Yeah.
Mood dresses. A dress that changes to the color of your mood.
Right. Then Richard would never be in the dark about things. Just imagine in that last scene, we watch it like slowly fade to blue and then cut.
Emily, you're sad. I can see it in your clothes. Here's what I do like about that characterization of Richard, by the way, is because one of the things we criticized about, not about the show, but I guess as Richard as a character, is like, he's checked out a bunch. He's like not a part of it, not into it. But now the show is addressing that in a way that makes sense, in a way that's like, yeah, he is kind of checked out. And that's a problem.
It's
not good because he's not loving his wife or communicating with her the right way. And so I think that's cool how like they address that thing that's like, is this sloppy characterization or is this just what it is? And made that something like substantial. Because the line, oh, I've always loved those, says a billion things without saying that much.
Right. Mm.
Do you have any other fashion items?
No, we talked about her hair already.
Yeah, so. Hair's weird. Okay.
Fashion.
Any other stray observations from this episode?
I literally just wrote down something very 2004 about Lorelai typing on her big HP laptop and talking about how much she
typing,
loves email.
Oh my gosh, yeah, the return to the letter writing days of old. But the way she was typing with like the two index fingers, she looked like my grandma.
Yeah.
They also made it seem like email was this rare thing. And in 2003, weren't we all using email?
Yes, I think the Paladinos might have, not like they recently got into it, but they recently were like...
I think they recently, as of today, got into it.
I like to believe that they just, because in some previous episodes of this season, they have a lot of technological moments like that of Richard being like, look, Wi-Fi, isn't it grand? And
I'm on Wi-Fi.
So I just think that they recently got, not introduced to it, but like... enlightened by the idea that this could be something funny to put into the show as everyone in town is just learning about it.
Very technology resistant.
Yeah.
The show and the people who make it. Just talking about Dean in general, the kind of candor of his relationship, which by the way, I like that there was follow up from both the dudes like, hey, so you kind of freaked out last time.
Right.
You okay,
yeah.
bro? You know, like that there was actual follow up. But the kind of candor of his relationship with Rory at this point, it's not dangerous. Like, they're, like, friendly and they're friends and stuff. But it looks like it's kind of going in a bad direction, that he's longing. Like, that's the thread of this season is so interesting to me. It's, like, this guy who kind of doesn't want to be married, who's kind of still into this other girl, but not fully enough to do anything about it. I don't know.
His longing is only there when Rory isn't, like, directly with him, though. Like, as soon as they're together in a room, she's like, oh, what's up, pal? Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, they're totally normal. He's not like...
And she's just like, pretty hair.
Pretty hair. The pretty hair.
Like,
when he got drunk and he was falling on Luke's bed.
There is... how do you guys feel about Luke just messing with Kirk at the beginning when he's, like, listing off the androgynous names to make him feel it?
And yet Carol was one of the examples he gave of an androgynous name. And there are men named Carol, but for the most part, I would not put Carol in that category.
It's like Carrie, Carol.
Do you say Alex?
I think so.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Because, yeah, Carol is very rare.
Yeah. Like just Carol O'Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... the guy who plays Big Bird is named Carol.
Yeah.
Carol Spinney. Yeah.
And the guy who wrote the theme song for the show, Carol King.
Right.
Is a dude.
Mm-hmm. Christmas Carol.
Yeah, that's a guy. Scrooge. Right. That's Scrooge. So yeah. That's a guy.
Two of the Beatles are dead.
That's a weird point of contention.
That was so funny to me.
Had George Harrison just recently died? No, he died in like 2001.
Did he?
Right?
See, in my head for some reason.
Now.
Yeah.
Great. Now it's a point of contention for us.
Damn it. No. I'm going to find it.
I want to say that it was recently dead, though.
I want to say.
Look, I'll make a declarative statement. It was recently then. Because if we're wrong, then we're just as bad as they are.
If being wrong about George Harrison is wrong, then I don't want to be wrong.
So you want to be right?
Yeah. He died in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like
you were right.
3 years prior.
My declarative statement was correct.
Thank you. That's not a sentence I hear enough in my life.
That and your impressions are good.
Yeah. If you can just do those two for the rest of the podcast, that'd be great. Let's rate the episode.
Absolutely.
I think, right? I really enjoyed it. There were some things about it for me that were lacking. Like, a lot of the beginnings of Kirk's story, I didn't find to be that funny. And as hilarious as I think the show wanted me to.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it, and especially the arc of Emily, and especially the ending. If a show is kind of whatever, if an episode is kind of whatever, if it has a really, really strong ending that frames the episode, not in a new way, but just frames it well, then I'll probably give it a higher rating. So for this one, I'll say 8.5 out of 10 globes with the wrong countries on it.
Oh, yeah. This one doesn't even have California.
Yeah.
I really like this episode. I think the Emily storyline was something really strong. Just the walk and talk and the breakdown scene were both incredible, and the follow-up with that, also very good. I wish that they had set it up more in a way that made me feel like this was inevitable conflict, because it came from, oh, this dinner scene to just this breakdown scene.
It seemed to come out of nowhere.
Right. Okay. Even though, like, it kind of, it is set up in a way that's like, oh, if you're following all these threads, maybe you'll see it coming, but it's just not direct.
Because instead of seeds planted, you probably would have wanted something that's more like, there's a big wave and it's about to crash.
Exactly.
Got it.
The story, everyone else's storylines kind of seemed underdone. Like, Rory was just kind of going along with the mall stuff. Them going to the mall, what was there a motivation in that? They were just like, we should go to a mall because we haven't been...
Because we haven't connected in a long time.
Okay. Free day.
Yeah.
So...
And then they have to schedule time. By the way, when they come back to Luke's diner, he just gave this woman $30,000. And she comes back with all this expensive, purses and clothes.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Stuff.
You're right.
And she's just hey, Luke, we... That's just going through.
I just imagine Luke being like, wait, what is this? He just, like, cries in the back.
Oh, what have I done?
Yeah.
Did you like... But we didn't even talk about that scene. Sorry, I'm interrupting your rating. But just, like, that scene with the, like, exchange the napkin. Like, we haven't even worked out a payment plan. I was shut up, Lorelai.
Yeah.
That was my thought on it. It was like...
When she wrote Nicole, it doesn't matter. I was like, oh, come on. You didn't care. You're just trying to use this to pry.
Right.
But yes, I thought it was a good episode. The main storyline, which was the only one that really mattered, great. All the Dean stuff... Just I feel like it needs more development. I feel like it's okay that I don't have an opinion on it as of yet.
Dino, and their nickname for him.
Right,
we
gets
call
up at 5 a.m.
Dino, huh?
Which, by the way, in the subtitles they wrote D-I-N-O, so I was very confused. I was like, what is Dino? Why are they? Is it an acronym for
Wait,
something?
Do you watch subtitles with subtitles as well?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know why. I like to read.
I think
the way cool people do it.
Allison just gave me a look like, oh, like, you know you want to do
it. That's right. But still, you're right and your impressions are great.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Not enough people say that to me. So if you could just say that for the rest of the episode, right, that'd be great.
Okay, now deja vu.
Live it up, because the next episode, I'm going to tell you how awful
you
are. But yeah, I give this episode 8 out of 10 Beatles.
8 out of 10
Because two
Beatles.
Of them are dead.
Yeah, R.I.P. By the way,
R.I.P. to John and Keith, but living it up are Paul and Bingo.
That was a very funny one.
That was funny.
I should have put that in. That was a mistake. Allison?
I found this episode sort of hard to get into at the beginning. I thought going to the mall had... I was going to say I think it was kind of gimmicky, but it was... plot motivated for Emily at least, but I don't know. It just, there were aspects of it that seemed convenient. I guess it was necessary for Emily to be at the mall, but the fact that Lorelai and Rory were there was like, well, that's convenient to get them all there. Right.
That's true. We didn't talk like that. It was a very chance meeting.
Right.
That wasn't contrived under any other circumstances. Like, girls, we're going out or something. That
might yeah. be organic. I did like the Emily storyline and where that went and that there was that emotional moment in the food court. So I liked that. But I liked this, the dog stuff. I thought that was campy mm-hmm. and fun. But as I think I made myself clear, the Lane plot stuff drove me nuts.
I forgot even about it.
And the Dean stuff, I'm having trouble caring about that. So I felt like it was like an okay episode. I would give it 6 out of 10 decorative roses.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Someone said, don't you... Sometimes the Twitter Q&A, by the way, is like, don't you love this moment
right.
where this happens? And it's like, that's not really a question.
Well, I'll still answer it, but I'll just be like, yeah.
But okay. like, yeah, so one of them was like, don't you love the moment where Lorelai gives Luke the rose and smells it? And the answer is yes.
I genuinely do not remember.
You don't remember that? It was very... It wasn't like a moment. It wasn't
Janie
like...
Janie Lane was in that one, right?
Janie Lane
from
who
Warren.
Is Janie Lane?
Janie Lane is who I thought Sebastian Bach was.
Okay.
She's yeah, I was just a callback to my terrible joke from before, but you actually don't know who Janie Lane
Jerry
is?
Pat.
I don't.
Like, imagine uh-oh. Sebastian Bach just looking a tiny bit different. That's Janie Lane.
Cool, oh, so Rock of... wait, what's the Rock of Love? That guy?
Brett Michaels?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because to me,
he's
that's...
He's in that realm, too. It's okay. J-A-N-I and then L-A-N-E. If you look him up, yeah, he was the singer of Warrant.
Okay. And he's going to be the next guest on this podcast.
Awesome.
Thanks for the tip.
Perfect, yeah.
And now it's time for a segment we call Where You Tweet, I Will Follow. Where we plug our stuff and plug our social media. Allison, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you for having me.
What do you have to plug? What do you want people to check out?
Your podcast? Go check out my podcast, Allison Rosen Is Your New Best Friend. You can get that on iTunes or on my website, AllisonRosen.com. That's AllisonRosen.com. And all the other places that people get podcasts, you can mm-hmm. get it there as well. It comes out twice a week. And listen and let me know what you think by tweeting me on Twitter, @AllisonRosen. Yeah, I'm also on Instagram and Facebook, and I'm out there. It's easy to find me.
Rather than tweet you, I'll tell you right now, I recently listened to the Chris Hardwick episode. Pretty good.
Oh, thank you.
Really
thank
good.
You so much. Oh, actually, I do have... This comes out in 3 weeks. I do have...
It's like a... That's a rough estimate.
Yeah.
We have no...
No.
I will be
we're
doing...
so backed up.
Well, I can announce this now, because as we record this, I can't announce it yet, but by the time you hear it, it's mm-hmm. fine. It will have been announced. I'm doing my podcast live at Bumbershoot.
Ooh.
Fun.
Yeah.
Seattle,
so that
right?
will be fun. Yes, that's in Seattle over Labor Day.
Fun.
Right on.
Thank you.
That's so exciting. And tweet nice things. Don't tweet mean things.
Yes, please.
Or tweet or...
I like nice.
If it's not a nice thing, don't make it a mean thing. Just make it a picture of a puppy, which right. is a nice thing.
Although, if you get a bunch of pictures of puppies, now you'll be like, oh, what did I do?
Yeah.
Either way, puppy pictures would be nice.
Right. It's like there. Mom no. said, if you can't say nothing nice, send a picture of a puppy instead. Oh, man. So check out that podcast. Do you find it hard to put out 2 a week? Because we've been doing 2 a week, too. And sometimes it's kind of a grind.
I'm used to 2 a week because I've been doing it for a while. Mm-hmm. I did briefly step it up to 3 a week.
Ooh.
And that was that I found... I definitely noticed the difference there. So then I like scaled back.
How long
it's
did
a longer
that last?
Story. A couple months.
Okay,
I'd say. But I was putting out the third one on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think that's the best day. That wasn't the best day to release a third one
because it's like a commute thing. Probably
yes.
people listen to them.
So
to
then
work,
I think yeah. they were getting it on Monday, and then I normally have an episode that comes out Monday,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I think it's throwing off people's listening schedule.
Yeah,
I don't know. So I still have it in my head that like maybe someday I'll go back to that, but I don't know. 3 a week is a weird number. I feel like either you're 5 or you're 2, or 1.
5 or 2. Yeah,
5 a week is insane.
You're either
me.
Terry Gross, or you're. You talking you too to me, which puts out one every like 6 months.
Right.
Well, you can find me at Kevin T. Porter everywhere, anywhere, wherever you want. Do
you,
it.
You can find me on Twitter at Mark Maron. I recently did a podcast with this guy, big old White House dude.
Pow!
Right in the kisser.
That's not his catchphrase.
I was like, I don't know why you said that.
Because that is
lock the gates. Yeah, that's my catchphrase.
I think it's I just shit my pants.
Pow, I just shit my pants. Yeah. Classic.
You can also follow my good friend at Electrolemon. He's just this real chill dude, loves to tweet.
What was that name again?
That name again was at Mark Maron. Or my friends? My friends?
Mine.
Whose?
Wait, your name.
My name His is friend. At Mark Maron.
Okay, what's your friend's name?
At Electrolemon.
I'm Gil.
Okay.
That's my friend's name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Electrolemon, also known as Gil. Mm-hmm. You can follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/GilmoreGuysShow. Email us, GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com for our Gilmail Guys episodes, a.k.a. Emaily Gilmail. Which we will, we're actually recording our first one in like 3 months, right?
Yeah.
Right after this. So we do read them and we love them and we know them and we see them and we feel them and we experience it all. So thank you for experiencing it with us. Guys, we did it. We nailed it. We crushed it. 4:15. Done. No stone left unturned.
Another one for the books.
Another one for the podcast books. Allison, thank you so much.
This has been so
fun.
Thank you so much for
having me. This has been in the works for a long time, so it's so fun. It's fun to finally consummate our podcast relationship.
I agree.
Officially. You know the song, right? The theme song?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty well? Okay.
Let's hit it.
We're out
on the road, feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. Choo-choo, where you lead.
Where you go?
I will follow
you
anywhere.
I think you should
just make up the words. Hey, let's go. Let's walk to the market now. Get some groceries.
Like away from Lane.
Step away.
Get back.
Let's Zeppelin.
I've always enjoyed
the vision. And Led Zeppelin. Or am I green? Do I look like Yoda to you?
Well, that's a I'm sick not. Burn. That's a sick burn.
Well, I heard the word loin, but I didn't think you meant dinner.
Goodbye. Oh, wait, what?
No, I was just going to say, I made a note that, like, Richard had a string of jokes in his first scene where he just made this face. Like, he just read a joke book for the first time.
He probably did.
Yeah. Goodbye.